Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. And because who doesn't love themselves a nice, healthy discount, from now, get this, until the end of August, our exclusive Road Trippin' NBA Jam tee is 25% off if you use promo code ROADTRIPPIN' upon checkout. That's Road Trippin', not case sensitive, for 25% off. Hey, we're road tripping at homage.com.
And we have another episode of Road Tripping. We got a big weekend this weekend, Geeter.
Big
weekend. Archie. The granddaddy of them all, right?
The Manhattan Open.
The Manhattan Open.
Beach volleyball.
Of beach volleyball. People don't understand. For volleyball people, this is it.
Well, I mean, volleyball's played literally all over the world. I mean, Paris, France,
Brazil,
Hamburg, Germany.
Huge in Brazil.
Brazil, Japan, China. The world championships were just in Vienna. But Manhattan is the place. I mean, this tournament's been going on over 50 years, RJ. And when you win, you get your name on the pier.
You get your name on your pier. You are immortalized.
Forever
enshrined. Manhattan Beach.
Yep.
You know, you have the Hermosa Open. You have them all. But everyone knows that this is the one. Like, why is it that volleyball is so big? Like, you played volleyball in college. You were the voice of the AVP for many, many years. Why is it that Manhattan Beach is really just so, it's so special when it comes to volleyball?
All the great players that have ever played this game, from Karch Garai to Mike Dodd, Tim Hovland, and on the female side, Nina Matthews, Kerry Walsh Jennings, Misty May Traynor, they all say if you could pick one tournament to win, it's Manhattan. Because back in the day when the sport was growing in the 60s and 70s, these guys were like rock stars. The one tournament that really mattered, where everyone would come, it was like being in the NBA Finals for you,
yeah,
was the Manhattan Open. Because that's where your name was forever enshrined. I mean, guys would trade. Tim Hovland has a great line. I would trade six Milwaukees for one Manhattan.
For one Manhattan. That is a great line. No, it is so much fun. Like, the entire town. Mm-hmm. First time I ever met you was at the Manhattan Open.
Yep.
The whole town shuts down, right? And it makes it so, so awesome. It's just a special time. We've got April Ross here.
We do.
Would you like to introduce her?
I would love that.
Please,
I'll let our audience know a little bit about her.
Please, please.
Because I like to tell people about her.
Yeah.
Because she is one of the greats to play this game. She is seventh all-time on the victory list with 55 open wins. She's a two-time Olympian, a silver medal in 2012 in London. She had a bronze in Rio in 2016. She grew up in Newport, went to Newport Harbor High School, played for a legend, Danny Glenn, won multiple state championships, went to USC, was a three-time first-team All-American, and a two-time national champion. She is the best server to ever play female beach volleyball of all time. That includes the entire world. Six times domestically and internationally, she's been named the MVP, RJ. That's April Ross.
And counting. We've sat here and we've talked about where and what we think and what kind of the vision is of what's the best place. I say we hear it straight from April. April, thanks for being here.
Place to play in the entire world is literally Beach.
And why?
Can we just say the South Bay? Because I'm kind of.
Well, because you're a Hermosa guy.
Hermosa is great too. Hermosa and Manhattan.
I'm kidding.
But explain why it's different too. The ocean's right there. The sand is deeper. It's a lot different than if you build a sand volleyball.
Yeah, so. Just the vibe is so cool when you're on like a real beach where people enjoy coming to the beach, because you could be on a real beach in New York and people don't go to the beach there. So it's totally different. Like everyone loves being there. Like it's kind of a party scene anyways. And so everyone brings just the best energy, and we create this festival setting that people come and have a great time and can just cheer and party and then go to Shellback afterwards.
Oh, but, God, I love it that she talks about Shellback. That's just my favorite thing.
I should be sponsored by them for this
So should I. My credit card stays there during Six Man the entire time. I will say this. Ohio people, like you talk about, you can play beach volleyball. Ohio people love some volleyball. I had no idea because of this. One, there's a place right next to where I live called Felix and Oscars where they have like two random sand volleyball courts. I think I Snapchatted you. And then there's another place called Zazzle's where they have like four or five sand volleyball courts, and it's like a bar lounge, and it's just outdoor. So as soon as that snow goes away, everyone's at Zazzle's, everyone's at Felix and Oscar's playing sand volleyball. They have like little leagues and this. I've been wanting to play so bad. I just had, because it's always either at the beginning of the season or in the playoffs when the weather's nice. So I haven't had a chance to play.
I want April to jump in on this, but I've always had this love for Ohio because in my early AVP days, they had tournaments in Cleveland. And it absolutely raged. Then when you started playing, we'd call it the Cincinnati Open, but we would actually go to the Linder Tennis Center in Mason, Ohio. It was some of the most raging crowds that I've ever announced in front of. It got to 10,000 people inside that tennis center. Do you remember? It was after the Olympics in 08, and it was insane.
It was definitely
we play
hot,
at night. Yeah. Yeah, it was hot for sure. But the fans in Ohio were incredible.
They were. And I think there's so many young kids out there, too, who play and love it. And so it's really a family kind of deal, and everyone would bring the families. And, yeah, the stadium was, like, full. And at night, and all the tents up, the VIP tents up top. And that was one of my favorite places to play, for sure.
And don't forget, the Ohio State University men's team just won a national championship.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah, they won a couple.
Yeah.
Great coach, been there a long time.
I don't really care about that.
You don't.
You know what I care about? I care about women's sand volleyball.
I know you do.
And I really want to know what is going on. That's what I care about, Guy.
Yeah.
I really care about the AVP, and I want to know what the future has to hold. Because I love it. I grew up.
Do talk about this a lot.
No, me and him argue all the time because I don't really give a shit about golf. So when I'm like retired 40 and 50, I'll be playing sand volleyball, not being out on the golf course for 8 hours like with old men. I'd rather just be playing volleyball. So I care about the AVP. I care about the state of volleyball and where it's going and what the future holds. And I want my little guy to be like, he loves basketball, but he's starting to gravitate towards the volleyball, and it's starting to kind of weird me out a little bit. It's starting to weird me out because I know he's going to watch me play more volleyball than basketball.
Once you get the bug, it doesn't go away. I swear, anyone who's introduced to our sport falls in love with it and then just is hooked for life. And once you like play and you start to get good at it, like you just love it.
Yeah.
Where do you think the sport is right now? I mean, because RJ and I do talk a lot about this. It seems like on the women's side, it's booming because it's now a college sport and the grassroots programs are growing. Do you see a big growth in the United States? Because that seems to always be the battle. How does this sport become lucrative?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly, like, I'm not a business person. I don't, you know how it becomes lucrative. But definitely the level is growing, and you can see that so quickly from the NCAA. Like, I think everyone who's all the women who've qualified for AVPs in the last couple of tournaments are college players from the NCAA programs. But you know, there's a lot of controversy out there right now about beach volleyball in the state it's in. And I think, you know, Donald Sun is the CEO of the AVP, and he has a plan. He has a long-term growth plan. And it seems like it's growing slow right now, and it doesn't, you know, it's never to the point where the players want it, you know, and especially like me, I think I have a, you know, definitely a quad left, and I want to cash in now, you know, yeah. Like I want prize money to be, you know, super high right now. But I think the way that he's doing it, to me, makes sense. It seems like it's sustainable. It seems like there's internally generated revenue that's going to support the pro tour for the long run. And if everything he's putting into place works and it seems like it's doing well and growing, then I think in the long term, you know, the kids coming out of college now are going to see the benefits of that. And I think it's going to be really strong for the long haul.
So we were talking. So like we do, we talk a lot about it. And do you guys have a union?
No, we don't have a union.
Okay. Now, I
just found your president of the union, named Richard Jefferson.
Yes, I can't wait to be future president of the women's AVP. But because I care about the sport and I care about all sports, and I'm not here to put you on a spot. I'm just here to say from an outsider, like this is my 17th year in the league, and I've seen what divided union, because we've had, you know, our president gone, we've had our head of our union gone, we had new powers in, we've had lockouts, we've had this, we've had that. So like I see it from like a business slash athlete, and the power that athletes have, and especially when you guys are united, is so huge. And I'm not here to tell you to go and do that, but I know to help the growth of your sport and any sport, players have to be united, right? And Major League Baseball, great union. NFL Players Association, great union. Basketball is a great union. And so one of the things, and I believe Sun has a good plan, but also I think players need to have a plan. I think players need to have an idea of where they want this to go. And even a union can be something like, hey, look, you get everyone donates $50, you know, to do the paperwork. And if you're going to be a part of this, you have to pay $100 for a union fee every single year just to be a part of it. But I think that would be so huge for the sport if all the players got together and then had a voice, because then you're not under the kind of kind of the hammer of what the owner says or what the event says. If the environment isn't right, if there's not enough safety, if it's just one person here or one person here, but if you have a head that can be like, hey, look, our player safety needs to be improved, or our courts need to be improved, or our nets, or just the refereeing needs to be improved, you guys have so much power. And that was one of the things when I started looking into the sport and saying like, okay, I can see it's kind of going back and forth, and there are some things, but the two things that I noticed was one, that there wasn't a union, and two, I look back at the old ABA versus NBA. I look back at the old, you know, NFL versus AFL. And for, you know, you younger people out there, the NBA used to have a league called the ABA where Dr. J played in it. And they're the ones that invented the three-point line. But both leagues were competing. And it's just not sustainable. When you're taking one player here and one player to another league and you're competing, it's just it's very, very tough to sustain it. And it's the same with the NFL. It used to be the NFL, it used to be the AFL. Once they joined, then they became powerhouses. And, you know, I don't know what's the story for the NVL and the AVP, but it's going to be very, very difficult for them to be the dominant group, which I believe volleyball should be, and back to the glory days, without some sort of unity.
Yeah, and I mean, we played around with unionizing this year before the season started. But I think we went about it the wrong way. And I think the place where beach volleyball is right now, where we're trying to get to the point where it's lucrative, where, you know, Donaldson's making money on the tour. You know, I think there's maybe a point where we can kind of negotiate. And for the most part, the players, it's not a huge group of players, and we all kind of come together when issues arise and kind of work with the AVP to resolve those things. And I think despite what's kind of gotten out there in the media, the AVP has done a really good job of addressing the player concerns from before this season. But, you know, like if there's not a lot of incentive for Donald Sun to, you know, continue on with this tour, you know, as far as making money, then, you know, I don't know, like, what us putting pressure on him necessarily, like, is going to do. And, you know, I think us, the players getting together and talking and being on the same page and working with the AVP rather than, you know, demanding you do certain things, I think is the right way to go about it. And they have come back on a lot of those issues and address those and are willing to change. I think TV is the stepping stone kind of for beach volleyball. Like, we need to get on TV. We need people to enjoy watching it, to want to tune in. That's going to, you know, bring in sponsorships and stuff like that. And I think a big aspect of getting that to happen is having, you know, the right angles and the right coverage. And when I was at World Championships, I watched a ton on TV. It was on TV 24/7. And they had so many angles, and it was just so interesting to watch. And after something great happened, they got all up close to like the team celebration, and you could see the emotion on the players' faces. And they, you know, slow-mo'd all the great plays from at least four different angles. And I think that's that hasn't happened consistently, especially in the U.S. So if we can get to that point where we're doing that, I think that's going to be huge for our sport. And they, another thing they did there that I thought was really cool was they had these sensors that they put in our uniforms. And I think they do stuff like this in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. They're just starting, the wearables are just starting to become kind of like a more popular thing where that you can track guys how much they run or just.
I think that's so interesting. Yeah. Yeah, and especially like then you can see how hard it is in the sand, you know, and they can, you know, they tell you how many calories you've burned and how fast you're going.
We gotta get her some Snapchat glasses. Gotta get her the Snapchat glasses. Let her click and then let her serve and play. Because I did that. I got the glasses. I think last winter and then All Star Weekend we played and I played with the glasses. So much fun when you can see people hitting, blocking, diving, all the chat. Yeah, just all the conversation. But you're right. The wearables I think is really really cool.
And when it comes to like jump serving, I said she was the best server of all time in the sport of beach volleyball on the female side. I've never seen a player be able to attack from the service line like her. She jump serves, she can hit it all different spots. I mean, Lane Youngs was great, and I put April right there. So if you could see that from the way she's jumping and hitting, it'd be pretty sick.
I've been working on my jump float. I've been working on my jump float. It's
such a funny thing for male volleyball.
We're talking about her best serve in the world, and you got so excited because your jump float's getting better.
My jump float's getting better.
It's all about your contact spot. Hit it square and high, and the ball will dance like a tiny dancer.
Don't follow through. You stop your hand.
Yes. Stop your hand. Okay, yes.
We call it Elton John, tiny dancer.
Just tiny dancer. Okay, because I watched Reed Pretty, who was on our six-man team, was best player on the beach. He was amazing, and he had a really nice jump float.
He's a gold medalist for the United States in 2008 indoor.
Yeah. And what did we say? He was trying to hit it to zone one, right? I don't know what the zones mean.
I'll do that on it. We'll do that on the podcast. I'll draw it out. There's six zones.
I think there's like nine zones.
Well,
now
there's nine. But yeah. Wow. Okay, old school.
How good you're getting when they're like, no, we can really narrow this
down. You know why? Because there's like a two and a three are the short serves. You could now do 2-3 seam, which is between those. Yes. You could do 1-6 seam, 5-6 seam. So yeah, there are about nine zones.
I just found out what a seam hit was, let alone. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still learning.
He needs to watch Evandro serve from Brazil. He was serving. Oh, go ahead.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
Luke Walton, 2 weeks ago, after the World Championships, came out and all of a sudden he was jump serving. And he kept going, I'm trying to be like Evandro. Because all they do, he and his buddy Nate, our buddy Nate, watched nothing but the World Championships for days. Yeah. So he thought he could come out and be Evandro. He was not.
So jump float, funny that
you say that, because tell everyone who Evandro is.
Evandro just won World Championships, but he's 7 foot, 6'10", 7 foot, damn. And he's just this goofy looking dude, but he, from the service line, he can just ace it anytime. He was serving, I can't do kilometers to miles per hour or whatever, but he was serving over 100 kilometers per hour.
Damn.
Yeah, and like untouchable. Like you don't see many servers on the men's side serving where the men can't make a reaction to like try and pass the ball. But he was serving and they couldn't move.
Well, that's what they were saying, is just because of the height that he's hitting the ball.
It goes down.
It goes straight down.
Yeah, it doesn't go up.
So it's like, there is no float. There is no read. It's just...
It's like trying to pass a fastball from a MLB like pitcher. I feel like on a beach volleyball court.
I'm sure everyone's watched tennis. Do you remember, you know, watching Sampras or Djokovic when you know they're serving, you're like, okay, this is going to be a point.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in volleyball when he gets it going. It's like you can't pass it.
I feel like you should try it. I feel like you might have a really good jump serve.
The jump serve to me, let me go jump float. Right. Let me go jump float first. Let me go April Ross jump float. Right. I'm going to do that. And then we're going to get into We're going to get into the action on the jump serve because I feel like that's next level for me.
Well, and for all you kids out there that are volleyball players, it's about the footwork, the toss. Like, that all has to be consistent. You will be hitting it from a high point, snapping, and it will be nasty. But it will take time. He's not going to do it overnight.
No.
I don't know.
The jump float.
Sometimes you can't do what you do, April, overnight.
No, you can't. You can't.
There we go. Yeah. There we go.
You're paying like Picasso.
Yeah. I started when I was 14. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I started when I was 34. So I'm not saying that I'm a little bit behind the gun, but I am.
Can I tell you a great story about her?
Please tell me.
So we're in Miami. First beach volleyball event of the year. It's ratings 2006. It's her rookie season. And she's playing with Nancy Mason, or was it Jen Kessie?
Jen Kessie at that time.
Yeah. Was it your first final? It was your first final. Might have been 2007. It was your first final.
I played the year before, but I was in the qualifier the entire year.
So this is her first full year. She gets into the final right away. And remember, at USC, she won titles. At Newport Harbor, she won titles. Her club volleyball, Balboa Bay.
They beat you.
Orange County.
He'll never let me forget it.
She was a senior. I was coaching. They beat us in the national championship game. Absolutely.
You've lost quite a bit of national championship games.
I've won five, so that's good, too. But anyway, so she gets out there.
Yes. Yeah.
We throw it down to St. John Smith, who's a former phenomenal, greats of all time.
Yeah.
And he's doing the sideline.
I don't remember
So
this.
He interviews her right before, and he goes, "Hey, it's your first final, blah, 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 blah." And she goes, "I've been in finals before." So her mindset, and we all just thought it was like the greatest day ever. Her mindset was like, no, I've been here before.
Yeah.
But it was her first beach final. But she had – that's when I was like – I remember him throwing it back to us, and I'm like, she's going to be one of the all-time greats. Like, that mindset, you just can't teach it, you can't coach it, you either have it or you don't.
Well, yeah, I can't speak for her, but yes, that is the mindset that you should have. It's like, I've been in a final before.
Yeah.
You know, my little league final was just 8 years ago. Yeah, crush that one. You want to go back and check that one? But yeah, that's I respect
that. I lost a couple little league titles, too.
God.
It's
not always about you. This is about April.
Oh,
it's not about.
We're talking about Evandro, and you're like, my jump float is getting good.
Well, yeah, because I wanted to talk about April.
By the way, this is your podcast. Float. It is about you.
No. It's not about me. It's about April. Sure. So sorry. Me and him go on these little bitty rants that we have.
I've been around Geeter enough to know that he does that a lot.
It's random.
Abe, what else is going on? We talked a lot about volleyball because normally when we have athletes on here, we talk a little bit about the sport. We're very passionate about volleyball, so we talk more.
I love that.
Yeah, but we don't give a shit about volleyball right now. We just want to just talk to you about whatever. What do you got going on?
I was going to ask best party in the world when you're out there touring.
Yeah, where do you look forward to going to?
Well, this year has been so different for me. Normally I like to get out there and I like to, you know, do well in the tournaments and then do well in the player party afterwards.
Yes. Win the party.
I mean, for me, I quit indoor volleyball because I just hated it, the way of life and all that. And I played beach because it's like, I love this culture. I love that I can like travel around and have a great time while pursuing, you know, my competitive nature and trying to be the best in the world. So normally that's how it goes, but this year with all the drama leading up to the season, and then partner split with Carrie right before, and then I broke my toe. I've been like so gnarly focused this year on just doing the best that I can, and I've never been so motivated in my entire life. And so just focused on winning right now. Like I after the Olympics, I took a little break. It was so intense that I was like, I need to get out and I need to have fun and I need to like let loose. And then as season started this year and going for Tokyo, I'm just like, this is going to happen. Like, I need to go and I need to win the gold and I need to figure out who I'm going to do it with.
It's called balance, right? Like, you needed balance, didn't you? You got to have some fun.
Oh, yeah. No, I firmly believe in balance, and I got my balance and I went past my balance. And now I'm bringing it back into balance with the volleyball part.
That's the best part. For all of our dozens of listeners out there, and we have lots of countries that have one listener, which we found that
That's
out.
Amazing.
That
was, it was we a literally lot, have a list.
We do. We have a list, and I should have broken out the list for all the countries and the we have cities, so they have these analytics that are crazy. But what I'm trying to say is that you can go and you can train so hard in every sport, but you got to have a balance. But then you also got to bring the balance back sometimes, like you said, because you can enjoy the fruits of your labor a little too much. And you're like, okay, let me bring it back.
Yeah. But what I've learned about myself is like, I can't have balance in the moment when I'm competing. You know, like, yeah. I can't be in a place and during the tournament, like, go out and have fun. I can't be at the Olympics and, like, go see different events and, like, mm-hmm. and do all this other stuff. Like, when I'm in it, I have to be focused, and it takes all my energy, and I'm so intense about it that, like, once I do get free time, then I have to, like, completely let go. So it's not, like, balance all the time. It's, like, focus, 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 and then bring that balance in, like, towards the end.
It's funny. We asked Lindsey Vonn about, you know, if she wins gold in February at the Winter Olympics is what her goal is.
Because, like, she's not drinking right now.
She's not drinking right now. Like, what, so what are you going to drink when you punish? Well, honestly, like, then I'll have another event. Yeah. So it's not till after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're at that elite level, the mm-hmm. focus is one thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I have what, like, I've enjoyed my time. I've been playing for like 10, 11 years. I've had a great time. And I have one goal left, and I want to win that gold in Tokyo. And I think if that happens, when that happens, I'm going to be the opposite of Lindsay and be like, if there's another event, F it.
Let's rage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to rage. At that point, all bets are off.
That's the way it should be. That people don't understand the intensity and the focus and the bullshit that goes into it.
I think, like, in a sport like beach volleyball, the Olympics are everything.
Yeah.
You know, in basketball, it's different. You know,
it's the NBA championship. You can say what you want about gold medals. You can say what you want about world championships. You want to win an 100%. NBA title. That's it.
Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah, that's number one.
And I think by far the Olympics are that for beach volleyball. So, like, everything just goes into that. And it's so, like, I just can't explain the amount of stress that builds, like, as you're getting closer to the Olympics and how important that is for you. And then afterwards, it's just like, oh my God, like, that was so hard.
I was in London, and this is before I was a fan of volleyball, before I became a fanatic. And I watched the London final, and oh, it was one of the more awesome events, because just seeing the venue that they had set up,
Oh,
it was an amazing venue, just the whole walk up and everything around, like, that to mm-hmm. me, that's what volleyball should be in
right.
every city you go to, every event, it should just take over the city for that moment. And when you walk to the volleyball venue, it was surreal. It was amazing.
And you see that being replicated a little bit more and a little bit more, I think, each year. Like, Austria was that. Mm-hmm. Austria was like the Olympics for world championships. This weekend in Manhattan Beach, that it's going to be like that.
Like, yeah.
It's going to be packed, and it's going to be raging. So I think we've seen that it can do that.
Yeah.
We just have to...
Can our fans see you on TV Sunday when you're in the final?
Yeah, we'll okay. be on NBC Sports, I believe.
Oh, that's awesome. So awesome. Me and yeah. Geeter have a fantasy football league. Are you familiar with fantasy football at all?
I've played a couple of times. Seahawks okay. are my team.
Seahawks,
yeah.
Seahawks are your team. Okay, so me and Geeter, we leave tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We leave tomorrow to go to Vegas
for
our fantasy football. Don't worry, I'll
like
be back.
The league.
Yeah, for the league. Yes.
For the league.
So we'll
Very
be
important league.
I'll be back on Saturday. So I'll be able to catch a few games on Saturday.
And we'll be there all day.
And then we'll be there all day Sunday. Yeah.
Can you get rich VIP passes? He does not
want to. I did it one time, and
the number one question you don't want to hear going into an AVP tournament is,
can I get something?
Oh my
can
god,
I get VIP something.
No, but, yeah, especially Manhattan Hermosa.
God,
especially.
No, I used to get hammered.
No, I love hearing that from another athlete, because we talk about it all the time, like during the NBA finals or during the Super Bowl. They're like, can I get some tickets? And it's like, dude, look, I got shit to do right now. Last thing I need to do is be wondering if you got in, or if this or my cousin wants to come, or it's like, I need to go win. I need to go focus.
Yeah.
I respect that.
God. Yeah.
It's just great to hear.
I think they
athlete.
Underestimate like how hard it is to get those. Like, you're asking for a favor that
yeah.
you know, you're not necessarily gonna have to repay, but like
it's a favor.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm gonna have to do. So Keith,
yeah.
don't ask for me. Don't ask
I
me.
Know,
I'll
I
be
was
fine.
Just kidding. By the way, you're gonna be fine.
Oh, I'm gonna be
yeah,
just fine. I'm gonna get in.
We used to have
oh,
a funny
but for
thing.
You guys, I'll do it.
Oh, remember, yes, thanks.
Before every. By the way, my family's taken care of. Just,
oh, you are. You are.
I mean, yeah, this is the guy you want to ask.
So before every playoff series, RJ and I he would call. And we would have a chat. And so before the Golden State series that they won in 2016, we had a chat. And when it got to game seven, I was just, I I just wanted a ticket from someone and Luke and RJ, and just I just never could press send because I knew I was not on that list to get that ticket. But it just was so hard to be like, can I? Just
I feel like you were close.
I was close because you and I. What happened? Because I remember you saying, "Hey, you are you coming? E's coming." I was like, "No, but I'm trying." But I was like, I wanted to say I don't have a ticket. But it was like, because by the way, that was like the hardest ticket.
Well, because it's one of those
game seven in the finals.
Game seven.
Oh, by the way, when they were down,
we were down
3-1.
3-1.
But you know, it was. But I had one of my best friends and my parents weren't there because my parents came out to game 3 and 4. And I was like, look, I'm going to have you guys come out for game 3 and 4. And then after that, I'll see you guys at the parade. Mm-hmm. Right. I said the same thing to my brother. Cause I was like, I just wanted to keep the same routine and
100%.
Keep everything.
Yeah. And we all get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and so it's like you get there and I didn't know anybody in San Francisco. And like the day before I had one extra ticket and I was like,
Lily.
So I had to call my best friend, Eric, who, when I first got drafted, he moved there with me. And, you know, just helped me get everything situated. And so he was at 2 NBA finals. Like I lost in 2 NBA finals my first 2 years. So then I was like, E, what are you doing tomorrow? Do you want to come to game 7? And he was like, oh, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
By the way, he was in the locker room after. I mean, it was a huge moment for Eric as well, which was really cool. And to be honest with you, those kind of games were like, I got RJ playing. We got Luke coaching. It's two phenomenal teams. I loved watching it. I'm like, it was Father's Day. I mean, watching it on a TV is not a bad thing because you get the replays, you get all that
it
stuff,
and nice,
I
just want to
be in the zone. It was such bullshit though because me and Luke have been best friends for 20 years, and we have so many mutual friends that I would see like his brother in the stands. I'm like, I know you're not here for me. Yeah. I would see one of our other friends, Peter, who for all you people that wanted to hear Peter in Chicago, he was the guy that might have had that was roommates with Josh Kroenke. Peter showed up, so he showed up because he's friends with me and Luke, and he knew no matter what, he was going to get to see the trophy. So it was like, whoever won. So when we won, he comes in the back, he's taking pictures with the trophy, and I was like, you weren't rooting for me. He's like, Richard, I was just rooting for a good game because I knew I was going to get to see the trophy.
I have mutual friends that I play against on the ABP, and I know that I have friends coming to watch, and when I just assume that everyone's rooting for me.
You should.
You should. But everyone's friends with everybody. Yeah. And then, like, my sister gets all, like, kind of up in arms. Like, she's in the crowd. She's listening. She hears it. And she's like, oh, can you believe this person was rooting for that person? And I'm like, at first, I'm, like, super upset about it. But I'm like, but they're better friends than, like, me and this person. Yeah. But I still get so upset.
You should be upset. Especially, so I've given tickets. So this last year in the finals, my wife's friend, I had 2 extra tickets. And I was like, I don't really know anybody that I want to bring out. I'm not going to have anybody fly out for this or whatever. And she was like, oh, well, my sister's – or no, her friend's brother lived there. And I was like, okay, but understand this. He's going to be in a Cavs section. So he cannot root for the Golden State Warriors. And I was like, because you're not going to put him next to, like, people's friends and wives and brothers and then be rooting. Because I'm not saying a fight will break out, but it's like, yo – as much as you guys are fans, this is our lives.
It's respect.
This is our livelihood. Is and so it's like, I get it. You're a fan. But also understand where you're going to be sitting, even if you're in the Golden State section. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's terrible.
That's great, though.
Yeah, I think it's got to be one of the hardest things for a true sports fan to, like, control themselves in a situation like that.
You know, I've said this as well, RJ. With beach volleyball, a lot of times back in the day, partners would always switch. So you'd go to different cities. You know, when you go to a Cavs game in Cleveland, you know, 99% of the people are rooting for the Cavs. But when you go to a beach volleyball event, they're like, oh, I know Carrie and April. I know Carrie and Misty. I know April and Lauren. But they don't know all the teams. So that's why I think it's always like Karch used to always have the biggest crowd. Because everyone knew who Karch was.
Yeah. Carrie and Misty always had the biggest crowd.
No matter where we went.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the, you know, things we need to figure out about beach volleyball too. Like, how do people pick sides?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how we do
that. Well, that's what's great about Hermosa, Manhattan. When you're talking about the home events for where most of us live, people have their friends and family and you know what side they're on. And that's when it gets fun because it's rivalries and heckling and that's when it's a great sport.
Yeah. Everyone's pretty educated. Like, everyone plays beach volleyball and here everybody kind of like follows it. And so they kind of know who they're showing up to root for.
Yeah, I just root for good plays, aces, scoops, blocks. That's all.
We're gonna be chilling in the VIP section on Sunday too.
Yeah, there's nothing better than watching a sporting event with no stress, Right. And that that is the best. When you can just watch this and like, I'm just here to enjoy it.
My wife freaks out on me that like I'm watching a football game because it's 44-10, but I need 7 more yards from David Johnson and I don't know if he's going to get the ball, and she just does not get why it's that important.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's stressful.
No, I don't care about your fantasy football team. I really don't.
I'm talking about how stressful sports can be.
I don't care about your fantasy football team.
Because I beat you in the championship by 90 points 2 years ago?
Yeah, but it was a lucky day. It was a lucky week. It was a beatdown.
Good day.
It was a beatdown. And even though I named my team after one of your like infamous speeches, I still...
Burn the ships.
Yeah, burn the ships. Operation Burn the Ships. That was the
name
of my...
Is this from the six man?
Well, his last year's name was Thanks Geet, and that bothered me because...
So... So we were playing... And I forgot what tournament it was. Maybe the 4th of July, Labor Day. So Geet overpasses, right? Overpass. And so as soon as I see him overpass, he tries to throw
it. It was an over. I tried to get it to Clint Cowell.
Overset. Excuse me.
And it went tight. And as he's throwing it down, it was
a no. I said it before. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, thank you, Geet. Thank you, Geet. Just crushed
threw
the ball.
Down. We lost like 7.
That was game point.
That's amazing.
That was game point. It was game point.
That's worthy of my kids. Fantasy.
Fantasy way, name. People, like, thank you.
I was not myself. By the way, the Labor Day tournament's kind of a big deal. You look forward to it. It's a Calcutta, so you buy teams, so you're invested a little financially. And it was just a horrible way to lose. And I was...
Oh, that was the Calcutta.
That was in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was in the playoffs. And it's just, thank you, Geet.
No one
thank
talked to me for hours because they knew.
Because they knew. And it was funny because there was enough people there watching it that they were just like, ooh.
Got to fight with family. Kids were bummed.
Kick the dog. Yeah, it was just a bad
I'm
going
to put my name into the Calcutta this year.
Come on.
Just to see... You know, I know it's an all men's tournament, but I'm just gonna throw my name in there.
She will be the first female and the first female A in the tournament. Yeah, that would be so awesome. I'd love to have
breaking
her on my team.
Here.
So everyone can see you this weekend in Manhattan. They can follow you at
ABP.com.
Yes,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, ABP.com.
NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your Instagram? What's your Twitter?
Everything is under April Ross Beach.
Beach.
Yeah, because April Ross
is long enough. And you go back a couple of years, you could probably see us doing the worm together.
Yeah.
It's on there.
Go back and find me and Eater doing the worm and like it. Or leave a comment. Or repost it.
You win this. Will there be a worm in Manhattan Beach after you win?
I would say if I make the finals, I'll do it before the finals. So you got to show up to the finals.
And just point.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to be there. We're going to be rooting for you. So... Hey, bro, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on and supporting this from an athlete-to-athlete standpoint. I also can't tell you how much me and Geeter have talked about this one interview and how excited we were because we are such beach volleyball fans, and the future of beach volleyball is safe in your hands. So thank you for coming to the Red Cup Lounge. I appreciate you. And for another episode of Summer Road Tripping, I'm Luke Jefferson.
Driven fans, I'm working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around, Amich. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at Amich.com. You're sure to be inspired and will get a kick out of their special design of Richard and Channing. Get them while they're still in stock at Amich.com. And better yet, from now until the end of August, receive our exclusive Road Trippin' NBA Jam tee 25% off when using promo code ROADTRIPPIN'. That's 25% off when using code ROADTRIPPIN', not case sensitive, through the end of the month. Get them while they're hot at homage.com.